Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning, this chilly February day here in Edmond on the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, right here in the center of Oklahoma. I learned the hard way this morning that my car my used car that I just got doesn't really have hot air. So I left the car heating up for half an hour and it didn't do anything at all to defrost the windows. So I was driving to Imperial Academy this morning, peeking through a little hole that I had scratched out with my fingertips. So not the ideal way to start the workday, I guess, but thankfully I made it on time. It's been just an amazing week after a bit of a break on vacation last week. Things have really come together quickly and everything has just flown by. Well, as you may have heard last week and the week before that, we were talking about a new book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. It's titled The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today. We've already talked about some highlights and some points to draw from those first two chapters of this new book by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry. Today we're going to get into chapter 3, which is titled Our Faithful High Priest. Here is what Mr. Flurry writes here right at the beginning. Remember what the Apostle Paul was trying to accomplish with this epistle. He was dealing with a slumbering church, and he had the unenviable task of trying to awaken them and put them firmly back on the path toward God's kingdom. To do so, he had to jolt them with hard correction. Yet the first four chapters of Hebrews do not contain correction. Imagine if someone you deeply respect wrote you a long letter to try to help you with some of your problems, but didn't even address those problems until he had written many pages of encouragement and inspiration. Wouldn't you feel loved? This is exactly how Paul wrote to the Hebrews. You can look at that book of Hebrews in the Bible and you can see all the way through the first four chapters, there's really no correction at all, and even into chapter 5, too. So almost halfway through the entire book, Paul isn't berating the Hebrews. He's trying to lift them up. And a big way he did this was by giving them a vision of Jesus Christ's role today. Christ lives. And really one of his biggest roles, if not the biggest one that he has right now, is as our faithful high priest. And I was studying this chapter this week and just so inspired by all of the things that God the Father and Jesus Christ have done for us, for human beings formed from the dust of the earth, as you can see in Genesis chapter 2. Here we are, so puny. Our lives are hardly different from those of the animals on a physical level. Just like the animals, we depend on air and blood flow and water and food. Yet our potential is so much greater than theirs just because we have this human spirit to combine with our physical brains. Even though we're so puny and so weak, so sinful so much of the time, just think about all that God has done for us. After the angels on earth rebelled and destroyed the earth, it was recreated and beautified in 6 days. That's in Genesis chapter 1. Now just think about the purpose for God and Christ recreating the earth like that. It was for you. It was for human beings. It was to give us the ideal environment to learn God's way and to grow and to live an enjoyable life. This earth is our training ground today. And they made sure that we had everything we need to survive and thrive physically. And they made it a beautiful creation that would constantly remind us of the Creator himself. We can look around outside and see the trees and the flowers and the different types of animals, the different types of geological structures, the bodies of water, and we can be inspired. We can realize all of this beauty had to have been created. It couldn't have been random. We have this, what they call Goldilocks planet to live on because of God and Christ carefully recreating it after the angelic rebellion. And yet, God and Christ have done so much more for us than just recreate the earth. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. It's talking about how Christ actually became a human being. This being who was previously the Word, as John chapter 1 shows, eternally existing as an all-powerful, immortal, perfect spirit being, chose to become a human. Why? As Hebrews 2 shows, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, Christ died to destroy death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26 states that death is the last enemy to be defeated. Christ's death frees mankind from eternal bondage and death. His death opens up the possibility of eternal life for human beings. And very soon, death will be abolished forever. Christ's sacrifice is really just the start of that. But think of this. Jesus Christ came to earth. He willingly gave up all of his power and glory spiritually. And he became a human being just like you and just like me. Didn't stand out in a crowd. He couldn't have been picked out except by those who really knew him personally. And he lived 33 and a half years completely perfectly, not even a wrong thought or an angry word spoken in the spirit of hatred or murder. Nothing done to contradict or break God's law in 33 and a half years. Also that he could die a perfect sacrifice so that the rest of us wouldn't have to die forever as a penalty for our sins. Romans 6 verse 23 shows the penalty for sin is death. And every one of us would pay that penalty of eternal death with no hope of a resurrection, no hope of spiritual life in the future if Christ hadn't sacrificed himself for us. So again, Hebrews 2 is showing how people have always been in bondage, and Christ died so that people could have a chance to escape from bondage and escape from death. Our Savior came to this earth to offer real freedom. Satan only offers enslavement. it's pretty obvious that this world is not truly free. The more that people try to abolish laws and live according to however they will, however they decide on a whim on any particular day, the more miserable they are. What is such a massive topic of conversation today as one of our biggest societal problems? Even here in America, mental health. How is it that we have unmatched, unrivaled blessings more than at any time for any people in all of history, and yet America is struggling with mental health? A lot of professional athletes have come out and talked about this in recent years. These athletes who are making millions of dollars and traveling the world and doing whatever they want on a physical level. Yet, too often, that kind of lifestyle comes with lawlessness. And that's where the mental health problem comes from. It's bondage to Satan, to death, to human nature. People are enslaved by addictions. As Mr. Fleury says, they need direction. They need God guiding them. Now, only if a select group of people today has already been delivered from bondage by Christ's death, but in God's time, all people will be delivered. All will have a real chance to get to know God. They'll understand why mental health was such a struggle. They'll finally receive true fulfillment and contentment and inner peace. It all has to come back to the law. God's law, living that right way, produces peace. It makes people happy. Christ is opening up that way, and it is available to you. If you're listening to this right now, or if you can have a chance to study the book of Hebrews, what Jesus Christ is doing today, again, available for free at thetrumpet.com, you have an opportunity to escape from bondage. The whole world is in darkness and bondage, and Christ only is offering a way of escape. However, contrary to what most of traditional Christianity says, that way of escape has everything to do with law. By the way, we also have a booklet about that at thetrumpet.com, also for free. No freedom without law. And we all know from personal experience, the more we structure our lives, the more we hold ourselves to a particular standard, the more we expect real results from our daily activities, the more fulfilled we are. When we just go off track and waste our entire day chasing pleasures, it always feels like something is missing. That's proof right there that we need law and we need God's standard in our lives. Mr. Fleury writes, when you have problems, Christ deals with you individually. If you bog down or get into trouble, he is right there with you. This is a family. No parent just forgets his or her child when the child is suffering. A parent jumps to save that child. God the Father put Christ into this priestly role, and he is right there helping you. Only you can stop that. If you are doing your part, there is no way he is going to lose you. You cannot fail. Christ will see to it personally. He will never let you fall. This is talking about Hebrews 2, verse 17, showing that Christ is our merciful and faithful high priest. And he will do anything it takes to free you. All you have to do is keep that law. If you have that humble and childlike attitude, if you earnestly want to submit to God, he will break you free. And that is a promise. Again, Christ is alive today. He has power. And that power absolutely can give you the way of life that you have always desired. That inner peace, that sense of fulfillment that all human beings crave. It's right here, and all you have to do is take it. There's a wonderful section here in this chapter of, again, the book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today, written by Mr. Gerald Fleury and available for free at thetrumpet.com. It's here in this chapter 3, a section about rest. And how much do we need rest today? This is a chaotic, dangerous world. So horribly, irreparably divided. Oh, yes, we need rest. No doubt about it. Hebrews 4 verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now this is talking about the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, God's family is offering rest. But it says there, we must fear. This is the right kind of fear. Fearing God, obeying what he commands us to do. Of all beings who exist, doesn't God have the most authority to tell us what to do? He created us. He knows what's best for us. He wrote an entire book, the Bible, to instruct us on how to live. How we, his creation, can be as happy as humanly possible, and even beyond that. God will work so many miracles to give us happiness, to give us peace. And he gives us a rest today that is a type of his kingdom. This kingdom that will be really nonstop rest when it comes to having freedom from Satan and society and our own selfishness. There will be none of that in the kingdom. We'll have eternal rest from all of those devastating influences during the kingdom of God, which is coming so soon. But not only can we look forward to rest in the kingdom of God, God also gives us rest once in every 7 days, on the Sabbath day. Verse 9 of Hebrews 4 says, "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." And you can see from the Greek word for rest there, sabbatismos, it's pretty obvious it's talking about keeping the Sabbath. It transitions from the beginning of Hebrews 4 talking about the kingdom to verse 9 talking about the Sabbath. We can see the connection there. The Sabbath does point us to the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ on this earth. And even beyond that, when God the Father himself will dwell on this earth with us, we can have true rest, true peace of mind on the Sabbath day. Physical rest, but spiritual labor. Verse 11 talks about that. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So plenty of people have failed to keep the Sabbath properly. And this is a warning about that. We have to labor to rest. That might seem like a paradox, but like I said, physical rest, spiritual labor. This means digging into God's word, learning all the truth that God has for us. He wants to inspire us with his Bible. And it's there. It's available. Pretty much everyone has their own copy. God opens up understanding to us. We can study with all our heart on the Sabbath day. Set aside that entire 24-hour period to draw close to God. Like Mr. Fleury says, this is not natural. It doesn't come naturally to study deeply into the Bible. It's something that we must labor at. That's what this verse is talking about. Mr. Fleury writes, "We must get to know him, grasp this vision and his plan for mankind, and learn how to rule the world. Our Sabbath observance helps determine whether or not we become teachers for God." Do you keep the Sabbath holy? The Sabbath is a gift. Mr. Fleury points out, it not only points you to the future, it points you back to God recreating the earth. Again, that was for us. God did all this on this earth for us. And he's providing the millennium in the future for us as well. On this Sabbath, we can make this vision clear. Mr. Armstrong, the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong, often talked about his spiritual habits and how he got into that habit of 1 hour of prayer and 1 hour of study daily. But on the Sabbath, he doubled that time. He made it clear through his time offering that the Sabbath day was entirely for God. He made sure God knew that he valued the Sabbath day by the way that he observed it. Now, on the Sabbath day and every day of the week, we can study into the Bible. And just look here, Hebrews 4, verse 12, the benefit that that can give us. Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Mr. Fleury writes, "The Bible is alive. It is Jesus Christ in print. You can build the very faith of your Savior by just learning all you can about the Bible." And as you see there, Hebrews 4 describes God's word like a sword, a sharp sword, and it cuts us. So often we try to reason our way around totally obeying God, and the Bible exposes those wrong intentions. The Bible shows us where we're going off track. It shows us how we're hurting ourselves by not totally obeying. And we can make those corrections in our lives and be so much happier for it. We are desperately evil, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says. Apart from God, with our evil human nature, we make horrendous decisions. We do things that bring us to the brink of death, temporarily and eternally. And the Bible can get us right back on track. And yes, obviously, being cut by a sword hurts, but it also helps us in this case. Spiritually, it helps us so much. Here's a verse here, a couple verses, Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is showing us that Christ relates to what we're going through. He sees it, he understands it, because he was once a human being too. And he feels for us. It hurts him when we're suffering. And we can cry out to God in prayer, and Christ can help God understand what we're going through. The God family, God and Christ sympathize with us. They understand, and they just want to see us repent when we go astray, when we rebel. They know that we're weak because we're physical, but they want to help us so much. So this is really just such an inspiring, uplifting chapter. I've only covered less than the first half. I don't want to take it all away from you. This is chapter 3, Our Faithful High Priest, from Mr. Fleury's book titled The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today. We can always be thankful for God and Christ doing way more for us than we would even think to do for ourselves so much of the time. Their love is beyond our ability to fathom. So thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.